Here we go. It's We Talk Fantasy Football. It's season number two. We Talk Fantasy Football for 2012, and this is officially show two after the first week of the NFL season. Heyo, I'm Mo.
And I'm Brett.
You're supposed to say heyo there.
Oh, heyo, I'm Brett. Ready to go.
Heyo. Heyo. Oh, you added a rhyme.
Yeah, see, there you go. So you can be heyo, I'm Mo, and I can be I'm Brett. Ready to go.
Yeah. That's great. So anyways, what we got here today is this show is going to be called the Fantasy 15. What happened was after the first weekend, instead of just sitting there, and like we say, we're the podcast that gives you the fans' perspective. Absolutely nothing, no axe to grind, no attempt to look smarter than we are, because we're not.
No.
Just simply going to give you the straight scoop. And what we're going to do, instead of just going over all the games and saying the same things as everybody else, we're just going to highlight 15 players here. The kind of we were talking about in the previous shows in our live draft and in our preview show that is I guess we're going to, like you say, the Fantasy 15. 15 players who we're trying to figure out, are they as advertised, not as advertised, or undecided? And then we're kind of going to make that judgment and then see if we're correct as the season goes on here. So that's kind of the concept for what we're doing. Does that explain it pretty well, Brett?
I think so. I think I get it.
It's good. I hope you get it.
I do too.
I hope I get it. But more importantly, I hope they get it. So let's.
I think they'll get it eventually.
I think so. So what we like to say, I made a list of all the players I thought were most intriguing and told you to pare it down to 15 guys you wanted to talk about. So that's what we're going to do here. So I'm going to go through the list. I'm going to name off the guys. And you're going to mention, you know, if they're as advertised, not as advertised, or undecided. Let's start off with Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson.
I'm going to give you the stats here. Adrian Peterson, of course, was questionable largely. He was often falling to the second or third rounds.
Sometimes even fourth.
Yeah, sometimes even later. He went 17 for 84, two TDs, and one reception for 3 yards. And he was, like I say, a game-time decision, even though it looked, as the week went on, like he would be playing more and more. So, Adrian Peterson, as advertised, not as advertised.
Well, coach speak aside, I mean, coach speak logics said that Toby Gerhardt was going to handle the majority of the carries, that Adrian Peterson was basically going to pop in for a few plays, and you might be lucky to get 30 to 40 yards out of Adrian Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
And that, because I listened to you coach speak me out of playing Adrian Peterson and putting him in the bench.
That's absolutely true.
you coach speak me. You said, well, this is what you're going to get. And I went, no. In the game time decision, when the game is on the line, they play the best player as long as it looks like he can play. Historically, I've seen this too much from coach outside of coach speak, which I hate.
I mean, I was basically going on the few things. And see, this is why we say that we're not experts. Because we go on things that we read from other people as well.
And I think a lot of experts got this wrong, though.
Yeah, I guarantee it. Because we looked at it from a perspective of, we just took all the information that we could find, cobbled it all together, and then just disseminated it to find what we actually chose to do. Absolutely wrong? Yes, totally. Now, when I say that, when you ask if Adrian Peterson is advertised or not as advertised, you know what? I'm going to tell you that he's not as advertised. He's way better than that. Because the people that were drafting him in the third and fourth round, or even second round, they got themselves a steal on this guy. Because if he's the Adrian Peterson of old, and he sure looks like it, then not only is he not as advertised, he's way better.
Well, the thing is, he's not even so much that if he's Adrian Peterson or Vold. I mean, you have to understand, I mean, it's historically a player has the type of injury he had. The second season, they're nowhere near as good as the following season, that they're back to where they were. And some guys never get back to it. What we're forgetting is that Adrian Peterson at 80% is still probably one of the top three backs in the league. So if he's 80% of what he used to be, he's still a top three back in the league because he was that damn good. He was special. And at 80%, he's still pretty damn special.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is just a mega talent, and I am pissed off because we never grabbed him once.
I got him once, but yeah, we were kind of avoiding him as much as everybody else, and it wasn't that Well, then again, it was also partially, again, we're consistently drafting number in the 12 hole, right? That type of deal.
Yep.
He's just kind of was always taken in the middle of the drafts, so in the middle of the rounds. But yeah, I mean, I'd agree with you, not as advertised. So we're going to stick to the running backs here. We're going to go through to Alfred Morris. Alfred Morris was everybody, Shanahan said, this guy's going to carry the load. So everybody went, so there's no chance this guy's going to carry the load because it was said by the Shanahans. Instead, he goes 28 for 96 and 2 TDs. So his yards per carry average wasn't exactly fantastic, but 96 yards, 2 TDs.
He's a chugger. He's gonna. When we say that he'll carry the load, he really carries the load. Like, this guy is a Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis-like runner. He's not gonna get many 40-yard-plus carries. But he's definitely going to go for some yards, and he's going to fall forward each time when he does it.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, I watched a lot of that game. And you mentioned Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. The guy I was thinking of was watching him was reminding me a little of Marshawn Lynch. Just, yeah, he always falls forward. He never goes backwards. Like, he falls forward for that extra half yard or more every single time.
Yeah, I feel like he could almost fill that Sean Alexander type role, although Sean Alexander had some more moves in his peak. I think that with Alfred Morris, I think that he is as advertised. I say that because there's two trains of thought with the Shanahans. There's the recent train which says that they're going to switch the running back at any given moment. Mm-hmm. But there's also the old school train of Shanahan thought that says that they just want to find the guy who works best for their system and run him till the wheels come off, which is what they did in Denver.
Yeah, Terrell Davis, right?
Yeah. You know, now, I'm not saying that that's going to happen with this guy. If anything, I think that he will play probably, he will start probably about 8 games overall, but he's going to have some good stats when he does it. He's going to have good, solid stats. And I think that's what's being advertised out of this guy right now. I'm not saying he's going to start every game this season, but when he does, he's probably going to rack up some solid fantasy points.
Yeah. He's a north-south runner. I mean, those guys, you know, these guys, like you say, they're not usually spectacular, but the biggest thing for me was the 2 TDs.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it beats the hell out of another runner that's on that list.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Well, we'll get to him next then. Actually, a couple of the next guys here. Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson, generally in the second round, or first round still. Late first round, early second round, though we did see him go as early as the middle.
As early as 5, yeah.
Yeah, we were seeing him still go like that. So Chris Johnson, I have a lot to say on him, but we'll let you go first. But he toted the ball 11 times for a whopping 4 yards, and caught the ball 6 times for 47. No question, New England's defense was overmatching all day long the Titans offense, and had absolutely no fear of Jake Locker. So
I think that Jake Locker does need to mature before he truly becomes, you know, somebody to fear. But Chris Johnson, frankly, this guy is completely not as advertised, because the coach speak, and we never bought into the coach speak period, because we don't have Chris Johnson, not a once. Because the coach speak said that he was on the right track, that he was looking good in practice. Oh, preseason doesn't matter, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. Chris Johnson, he's going to be fine. And we always said, you know, Chris Johnson, he's kind of done. He's going to have his good games, but he's not the CJ2K running back of a couple of years ago. He's just not that player, and he doesn't play on that team. He wants to be that player, and he thinks that he's that player.
Oh, and we have been joined by the We Talk Podcast official mascot, Angus. Angus the cat. How you doing, Angus? Yeah.
Yep.
That's good.
He agrees.
Go on, Brett. Keep moving.
But, you know, I just totally think that Chris Johnson is not as advertised. The fantasy football pundits loved the guy. They thought that he was a great target for a bounce-back season. I don't think so. He's a fail.
What I would love to know is his average draft position. I'm guessing somewhere around 8 or 9.
Yeah.
His ADP.
Probably between 8 to 12.
A couple times overall. I saw people who would take him in the second round, early second round, and go, oh, you got a steal. And I would turn to you and say, I wouldn't take him before the fourth.
Yeah.
And because I think he's an RB2. And it's not that he's a bad player. This is what you have to understand about Chris Johnson. Is what we're seeing this year, what we saw last year, and last year he rushed for 1,000 yards and he had about 400 receiving. He's probably going to do about the same. Yep. About 1,400 combined yards and about 8 TDs. And those are solid NFL running back numbers, and those are solid RB2 numbers. But here's the thing. That's the norm. The 2,000 yards was the anomaly. Not the other way around. This isn't the anomaly. 2,000 yards was the anomaly. It was going to happen once. It was a career year. He was never going to get back to it. Keep in mind that this guy, when he was in college, started for 4 years, was averaged less than 4 yards a carry for the first three, and was a kick return specialist, who finally averaged 6 yards per carry in his last year, had a good season, was going into the draft, was seen as a second or third rounder, who ran a 4.24, and the Titans jumped on him early. He's 5'11", 195 pounds listed at. I don't even think he's that big. No. When I look at him, I see Warrick Dunn. And Warrick Dunn was a fine NFL player.
Great NFL player. And for what he did.
For what he did. But he wasn't a game changer like people think Chris Johnson was. He wasn't Adrian Peterson. And neither is Chris Johnson. And that's the way I look at Chris Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, 1,000 yards, I don't doubt that he can get 1,000 yards. You know, 1,500? Totally don't believe it.
Rushing? No. There's just no chance. Yeah. And, again, Warrick Dunn was 5'9", 186 pounds. And Chris Johnson, I think, is listed at actually 5'11", and 191. And, I'm pretty sure if you had them next to each other, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart from their physical stature, personally. So that's it. I had quite a bit to say on him. Let's move on to a guy I'm sure you have something to say about. A guy we got a lot. Ryan Williams from the Cardinals. 8 rushes, 9 yards, 1 fumble, 2 receptions for 17 yards. Pretty much split carries with Beanie Wells, who was, of course, a game-time decision again.
I'm going to call Ryan Williams as advertised. Now, he didn't have a good game. He had a terrible game. Beanie Wells, as they've said, is going to be their starter until he fails or gets injured. The truth of the matter is that he will get injured or fail.
He was a 1,000-yard rusher last year, but he might have more talent than Williams, but let me tell you something. His stats were eerily similar to what Williams has here. You didn't print them up, so I don't have them up off the top of my head, but he had eerily similar stats.
Yeah.
He failed to run the ball as well. And so maybe what we shouldn't be saying is he's as advertised or Williams is advertised. Maybe what we should be saying is that the Cardinals' offensive line is as advertised because people were saying in the preseason that the by position, the two worst by position talents in the NFL this year were the Cardinals' offensive line and the Dolphins' wide receivers. And y'all know how much the Dolphins' wide receivers suck.
Yeah. I think the truth is with Ryan Williams is that what we've said at the beginning of the season still stands. I still believe that about halfway through the season, he's going to be picking up starts for the Arizona Cardinals. I hope that translates into this was a rust game for him because he hasn't played in a year, and that the line will eventually gel a little bit to give them some actual ability for rushing yards, because Ryan Williams, basically, his best chance is to become a workhorse.
Yeah, that's it, to become Alfred Morris. That's what you're hoping for from him.
Yeah.
To become what we're saying about Alfred Morris or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Yeah, he's probably got a little better physical tools than those guys.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if we get 25 carries out of Ryan Williams at some point in the season, we're going to be happy.
He definitely doesn't have, one thing he doesn't have is his good offensive line, though.
No.
Yeah,
no.
They're not getting any push. That said, the Cardinals 1-0.
Yep.
Are truly remarkable.
Go, go, Kevin Cobb, go.
Oh, boy. All right, well, let's move on to the last guy we got in the list here of a running back, Doug Martin. Doug Martin went 24 carries, 95 yards, 4 receptions, 23 yards, no TDs, but solid numbers for a rookie in his first start, I guess.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm probably going to go with as advertised. I think that they're going to try to run him a ton. And I think that he, as long as he can maintain the, you know, his health, then he should be fine. It's funny because a lot of these guys, they're okay. They're good at what they do, but they're not spectacular players that we're talking about. And Doug Martin definitely is not, at this point, fitting into these spectacular players. I think that he's going to be hindered by the fact that he plays for Tampa Bay, although they had a really good game. And I think that as we progress, I expect to see a few more games like this from him. But I also expect to see some, you know, 40 to 50 yard games.
I have no question the Panthers are a better team than the Buccaneers, and they just didn't play as well on that day. I do think the Panthers have a bit of a soft run defense, and Doug Martin will look good because of that. Yeah, I'd probably put him in the undecided category myself.
Yeah, he's probably a little closer to undecided, but, you know, I anticipate seeing him, you know, he might get 1,000, but I still feel more like 8 to 9 is his ceiling.
All right, we're going to move on to quarterbacks. A guy that we didn't even really talk about much. Nobody did. And if we did, we didn't have anything good to say. And then he goes 19 for 27, 266 yards, 3 TDs and 1 interception. Our buddy Joe Mulvey would be very happy as the New York Jets throttled the Bills and Mark Sanchez had a real nice game.
Now see, again, it's odd because if you listen to Rex Ryan, then...
And you should.
Yes.
Just for the entertainment value.
Yeah. Then this is exactly what Mark Sanchez will give them every week, pretty much bar none. So if...
Coach speak.
Yeah. So if by that token it's as advertised, then I'm going to say he's not as advertised. But if you look at it from what everybody else was saying, in that he's not going to be a very good quarterback throughout the year, then I'm going to say he's as advertised. I know that sounds crazy because this game was so phenomenal for him, but I just believe that he played a game that was so phenomenal for him that I would be shocked and amazed if by the end of the season this was not his best game by a long shot.
There's a guy, his name is Rob Johnson. Came out, his very first ever game came out, a surprise start, and went off the board. And then gets, you know, became traded to the Bills from the... Was it the Jaguars or Adam? I think it was the Jaguars, Adam. And he gets traded to them, high draft picks, because everybody saw this one game and thought, this guy's going to be a stud.
That's right.
And then he became the most sacked quarterback per attempt in the history of the league, and really sucked donkey balls, to put it frankly. I'm not saying Mark Sanchez is that. What I am saying, though, is that you can't look at a one-game wonder and think that the talent is necessarily there. History says to me that Mark Sanchez is not this quarterback, and I still don't believe him. I'd say he's as advertised, because this is false advertising this week.
Yeah, because I'll believe when I see... I also want to see the Bills' defense, because I'm a little worried about the Bills' defense, given the fact that Mark Sanchez exploited them virtually at will. And if their secondary doesn't tighten up and the rest of their defense doesn't play better, because they should be getting pass rush like crazy. They got Mario Williams.
Yeah.
And if they can't push ahead of that line, then I'm worried for them. And then they're a matchup that I want to exploit in my fantasy leagues.
Yeah. Well, sticking with the Jets and players that emerged, a guy that nobody saw coming. First-round draft pick. The guy has ideal wide receiver size, 6'4", 215, but you never expect anything out of a rookie wide receiver, and certainly not with the Jets coming into this game. So Stephen Hill gets 5 receptions, 89 yards, 2 TDs, even more importantly. People should be, is he as advertised, not as advertised, undecided? Should people be grabbing him on the waiver wire?
I would not grab him on the waiver wire unless I absolutely had a desperate need at wide receiver. I would definitely say that he will be as advertised from the beginning of the season reports, because even coach speak You know, Rex Ryan came out and said that this guy wasn't on the same page with anybody, that he didn't have a hand, really good
hand. Oh, now that's come out that was motivation.
Motivation.
And right. He was staying after practice, is catching 100 extra balls to try and, you know, shore it up, and he's showing the work ethic. So
that's great. Good for you. But the truth of the matter is that this is just you were in the right place at the right time, and you got targeted a fair bit. And, you know, he had a great game. I'm not taking that away from him. What I am saying is that the coverage obviously was a little lax on him, and other people are going to take him a little more seriously now. So I think that he's going to find it a little tougher sledding, especially if Sanchez does start to struggle.
Yeah, and the other thing is, or Sanchez gets hurt and Tebow goes in.
Yeah.
But
in that case, he's really going to struggle.
Yeah, no kidding. No, I mean, I've seen a lot of rookie wide receivers have a great first game. I've seen it actually quite a bit. Charles Rogers, anybody? You know what I've only seen? I've only ever seen Anquan Boldin keep it up for an entire rookie season, really, at the pace that we're talking about here. He is going to be as advertised. I think the same thing with Ogletree. Ogletree had a great game. You know what? He was in the right position. They exploited a weakness in the Giants' defense, and Romo played a fantastic game. And then the year, he's not. If you're picking up Hill or Ogletree off the waiver wire, expecting them to be wide receiver 4 or 5s, and you have the depth for that, and you can see if they do a little better, that's fine. You expect anything else, you're going to be highly disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I would way rather pick up Randall Cobb. He's in a great system, and I think that they're going to try to use him in space and use him all over the field. So he's a way better pickup.
Shows a lot of talent. Yeah. Shows a lot of talent for me. Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to keep moving on and sticking with the wide receivers here. Randy Moss. Randy Moss caught a touchdown. 4 receptions on 4 targets and 47 yards.
Well, Randy Moss is ad as advertised. I think the truth of the matter is that Harbaugh actually said that he was going to get used sporadically. He didn't get in on all the plays by any stretch of the imagination. He caught the 4 targets that he was asked to catch. He didn't bitch and complain. So if this is what they're advertising him as, he's totally as advertised. If you expected a guy to come in and catch 1,400 yards worth of 1,400 yards and 10 to 12 touchdowns, well then no, he's not as advertised.
No, well you know what? I think it's what it is he is as advertised, but I didn't buy into that advertisement. Like I didn't.
Well,
I didn't buy into the coach
speak.
I didn't. Well, the thing is, I didn't buy into the coach speak, but. But he is as advertised. But the problem is it was Alex Smith who was not as advertised, right? Alex Smith played so fantastic that it made all their, you know, offensive weapons look really, really good. And I'm not so sure that he's going to continue to play like that or go back to being the game manager, Alex Smith. And how much does that affect Randy Moss? So that's kind of more my thing. Randy Moss will be great if Alex Smith continues it. But again, the biggest thing, the most impressive thing, 4 catches on 4 targets. That's the part that to me stands out.
Well, the truth is that Alex Smith is the premier game manager in the NFL. He did a great job of managing this game as well. I mean, he still didn't like air it out 100 times and play some sort of wide open crazy offense. But he was just able to play a great game managing game. And so when you can play a great game managing game, it looks like a really good game no matter what. And they had it.
And the final wide receiver on our list here is a guy out of Detroit that a lot of some people saw as a sneaky play and was taken pretty much in every draft, really late though, despite being their third wide receiver, was talked up so much in camp. We got him a bunch. Titus Young, he caught 1 pass for 14 yards, and we don't have it printed out here, but I think he had like 1 or 2 runs for 11 yards or something like that. So, Titus Young.
Well, Titus Young is going to be, for me, undecided. Because I do feel like he has a bunch of talent, but I also feel like he's a head case. And I think that If I missed my guess, wasn't it him that like headbutted somebody in the
camp? Yeah.
Yeah, and so in this case, he wound up doing something, took a stupid penalty or something, and wound up getting benched for the vast majority of the game. He's still playing third fiddle to, or second behind Nate Burleson.
Burleson played okay, but I mean, it still says something.
Titus Young absolutely has the talent edge over Nate Burleson.
Oh, yeah. His physical skills are awesome.
No question about that. But Jim Schwartz is a coach who is not going to let the head cases play unless they prove that they need to play.
The other thing about Titus Young, you have to look at the fact that Stafford was awful, that they almost lost the game to a team that nobody saw them losing to, that won, what, like three games last year? What did the Rams win last year? Almost nothing, like three games or something?
Two.
Might have been two. Yeah, it was just an awful team, right, last year. And they're this playoff team, so nobody sees this coming. We played the Lions defense a bunch, and that blew up in our face because they didn't play very well. The fact they won this game is a miracle. So if Stafford plays like that, yeah, Titus Young is going to suck, but I don't think Stafford's going to play like that. I think I've decided it's the right way to go with him.
Yeah, because he absolutely should take over, and he absolutely should do better. It's up to him completely to do those things.
Absolutely. Tony Romo. Tony Romo, his best opening game ever. 22 of 29, 307 yards, 3 TDs, and a pick. And he looked confident. He looked, he just looked fantastic. And the thing about Tony Romo was, I don't think any of us thought he was done. We just weren't as high on him. The funny thing is we keep on talking about the old player that's done, Carson Palmer, both of 32.
Wow. It's crazy. I mean, Tony Romo is absolutely not as advertised. Because if you followed the advertised method, then, you know, Tony Romo was hanging around till, you know, like he was like a third-tier quarterback virtually.
Yeah.
And he was hanging around till like round five to seven. And if he continues to play like this, and given the fact that he was able to turn Ogletree into a viable looking receiver, then there's no reason to feel that he can't.
He just had such command and such presence.
And that was the Giants defense. We're not talking about him playing the Bengals defense. We're talking about the
Bengals
Giants.
Have a pretty good defense.
Yeah.
Let's say
the Raiders?
Okay. The Raiders weren't that bad. You know, not Bills, obviously.
The Bills, yeah.
But,
you know, he's not playing one of the bottom-tier defenses.
Kansas's defense.
Yeah.
He's so bad.
He is playing the Giants, a team that that has won, you know, like, a couple Super Bowls. And it's just shocking to me because he played lights out. And so as far as I'm concerned, that for those folks who did get Tony Romo in those later rounds, I mean, hey, more power to you. You did a good job.
Yeah, you know what? When I was low on him, it was, well, number one, obviously it was, you know, he's coming back from an injury-plagued season. But more than that, I just looked at it and went, you know, Miles Austin never stays healthy, though he looked good. Dez Bryant never stays healthy. Jason Witten looks like he'll never be healthy again.
Yeah.
And their offensive line didn't get me in. And I just thought, I thought they wouldn't be able to establish a run game because the offensive line wasn't good. DeMarcus Murray, of course, then has a brilliant Barry Sanders-like run where he should have been stopped three times.
DeMarco Murray is a top-notch running back, and I'm glad that we got him a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, that was the thing for Romo. I mean, it wasn't even so much I was questioning him. It just looked like an organization that was on the downswing.
Yeah, the talent around him didn't seem as good as it should be.
Sure looked good on Thursday, or that's Wednesday, right. I guess it was.
Yeah.
So, Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck threw the ball 45 freaking times. He had 23 of those completed, 309 yards, a TD, and 3 picks. Is he as advertised?
I think he's as advertised. I mean, he's a rookie quarterback, so I think that some growing pains are absolutely going to be expected. Now, I think the number one problem that skews his stats is that there's some garbage time throwing in there. But I think that overall, any time a rookie quarterback can throw for 300 yards, it's pretty good. And I think that any time somebody throws up the ball over 40 times, then they're bound to come up with some interceptions. And hey, He's not Brandon Wheaton.
No, good Lord, no.
Now, maybe Andrew Luck isn't quite the, you know, maybe he's not the coming next Peyton Manning. But the truth
Tannehill
of the matter
as well.
Yeah, but the truth of the matter is that Peyton Manning didn't have an epic first year in the National Football League either. So
no, he went 3-13 his first year. What you heard about him was he was playing well and showing progress and showing poise and the type of leadership that would someday make him a franchise quarterback. That's what you heard about Peyton that first season. I think you still saw that in Andrew Luck.
Yeah, and I think that that's what we're going to see for Andrew Luck. So I think he's as advertised.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. RJ3, Robert Griffin III.
RG3?
What'd I say?
RJ3.
NJD.
Yeah.
But, 19 passes, 26 out of 26 attempts. 19 completions, sorry, out of 26 attempts, 320 yards, 2 TDs, and 10 carries. He toted the ball, got 42 yards carrying the rock. Robert Griffin III, RG3, go.
Wow. I mean, again, it's crazy to think because there were people out there who I know, and as a high draft pick, you've got to be able to suggest that to be as advertised is to play well. But there were a bunch of people out there who looked at the team around him and definitely suggested that he was not going to be as good. I mean, he was not getting drafted as high as Andrew Luck. He was not getting drafted in many redraft leagues.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. So I'm going to say that he's not as advertised because he played a lot better than that. I mean, the truth of the matter is, you look at 109 yards to Pierre Garçon in the first quarter. I mean, that's awesome. You talk about, you know, a 4.2 yards per carry average for his, thank you, for his running. Again, I mean, that's good, strong numbers.
Angus is also a fan of RG3.
Absolutely, and, you know, maybe you should be. But it all comes down to, can he maintain the accuracy and stuff like that? And if his receivers keep playing well, then I absolutely think that the Shanahans will install a good offense for him. They're going to coach him up good, and he's going to do a really good job. So he could be an absolutely viable QB1 for this season.
You know, there was all these comparisons coming into Cam Newton, who was a viable QB1 in his first season. Cam Newton, of course, slowed down as the season went on, though. But there was a ton of comparisons coming into this. And everybody was talking really highly about him, and reporters were talking really highly about him. It's just nobody wants to draft a rookie quarterback that high. According to the press that he was getting, according to his teammates, according to his coaches, this is as advertised. According to the fact that you simply temper your expectations, this is not as advertised, you're right. But here's my thing. I watched that game, and the Saints played like crap. And the Saints helped make him look better than he was. But more than that, like, the Saints players just didn't execute. They didn't look motivated properly. I don't know if they were. I think they might have been too tight. I think they might have been too much other stuff on their plate that affected their performance. They weren't focused properly. So, but more than anything else, Griffin executed, sure, fine, he executed. You know, he didn't play as great as the Shanahans coached. And that's why his stats were so goddamn good. Honest to God, I don't know the last time I've seen an NFL coach be an NFL coaching staff outcoach the staff on the other side to this level. Like, it was unbelievable. And a lot of people look at Drew Brees as the de facto coach in New Orleans, certainly at least the de facto offensive coordinator. And it wasn't their offense that was the problem. It wasn't great, but it wasn't as bad. But yeah, I mean, just the coaching staff, the Saints coaching staff, badly outcoached. And so, again, the Shanahans are good coaches. If they continue to outcoach the other teams, that'll do well for all their players in fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, because, again, we talk about, all you have to do is look at Alfred Morris. You look at RG3, you look at even Pierre Garçon. I mean, who would have expected 109 yards and a quarter? So, I mean, if they're coach like that every game? Yeah, absolutely.
They'll yeah, well. And if they play against a team that isn't coached well and that doesn't execute well, well, let me tell you, a lot of people would have, I think a lot of teams would have beat the Saints on this day. I think of the 32 teams, probably 26 of them would have beat the Saints on this day, honestly. I think that's...
Maybe I'm not saying the Bills.
No, not the Bills. Who I don't even think it was that they were outcoached. That they were definitely outcoached. But not as, you know, that was... who the hell knows?
Yeah. It's just a bad day.
Exactly. So we're keeping on with those young quarterbacks and Jake Locker, who we got a whole bunch. And we talked up as a fantasy football potential starter because of the type of quarterback he is. He went 23 of 32, 229 yards, really nice completion ratio. One TD, one interception. If you're looking at his stats, one TD, one interception for a young quarterback against the Patriots, that's okay. It's not good enough from a fantasy perspective. Only two carries for 11 yards is the real surprise there. This is one of those games where you go, wow, he looks like he's going to be good someday.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what we said about him at the beginning. We took him in the late rounds on the chance that he would become a rushing quarterback, slightly a la Cam Newton, a la Michael Vick, that kind of thing, and put up, you know, 50 to 60 yards per game with his feet so that you get that guaranteed level of points. And then everything else that he did is beside the point. You know, it's just gravy on top of those points. Like, if he gets it as a passer, then that's great. Do I expect him to be a stud every game? Hell no, I don't. And I think that the Patriots certainly put an extreme test to him this week one. Do I think he will play like this throughout the season? I kind of do. I also expect him to get a little bit better and more rushing yards.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like he's bad. Like I say, it's just not really fantasy numbers from a perspective. The thing is, he'll probably be served well by this test in week one against this aggressive Saints defense. Patriots defense and you know, their inventive schemes that they use to really kind of screw him up. He also needs his running back to carry for a better average if he's going to be better, though. No question
about
that.
You're saying that 4 yards isn't enough?
4 yards and 11 carries is not enough. No. That does not help your quarterback. And keep in mind, Nate Washington, I believe, went out with an injury.
And he didn't have Kenny Britt. So he was missing a lot of talent. So, I mean, as long as he can, you know, stop fumbling, and as long as he starts to run a little bit to help keep the defense honest, then I think that he can be as advertised, solid, perhaps putting up QB1 numbers.
Let me tell you, the numbers that he put up and the numbers that Christian Ponder put up were almost the exact same. The difference was Ponder didn't play as good a team.
Yeah. Yeah, Ponder worries me far more in that
regard. Yeah, and they're 1-0 because they played a not as good a team as the Titans, who are 0-1 because they played a very good team. So we're moving on again. This guy should be known as there used to be the old ball coach there, Steve Spurrier. I guess there still is. This guy should be the old ball QB. Peyton Manning. Peyton's Peyton.
He absolutely is.
He went 19 passes for 26 yards, 19 for 26.
26 yards.
19 wow. Completions on 26 attempts for 253 yards and two TDs. That's my Howard Cosell. Pretty shitty, huh?
Yeah, very.
But anyways, Peyton, yeah, I mean, I don't know if his strength is completely back. I don't know if he's 100% in sync with his offense yet. And all that's pretty scary because those are great numbers.
I don't think it matters if his strength is all the way back. Like, it's going to come up at some point. Like, at some point, he's going to need to make a throw, and we're going to see if he can make it or not. But the truth of the matter is that Peyton Manning is smart enough to relearn his game. And I think that ultimately he's not as advertised because people were letting him go. It was one of those cases where almost everything that I saw said, you know, draft Peyton Manning because maybe he'll come back, but without the arm strength, you know, it's buyer beware and probably let somebody else draft him. Well, you and I were that somebody else almost every time.
Yeah, we got him late. feel good about it.
Yeah, we were drafting Peyton Manning in the 7th and 8th round. And, you know, to get, or even like, you know, 6 to 8. And sure, we made sure to back him up a fair bit with somebody that else that we thought was going to be good. But now we're looking superb in some of these leagues because we have Peyton Manning and we have a great backup. So, you know, not as advertised from the pundit's perspective.
No, no, absolutely. And you know what? We probably forget this. He's an excellent coach in Denver. Next week's going to be really, really interesting because it's going to be the Falcons who look just tremendous in their offense.
For sure. Mind you, the Steelers are a good defense.
The Steelers. Hey, the Steelers were like the second, I think the top-ranked defense last year's second-ranked defense, something like that. And, you know, but that's just going to be a very interesting game. He might have to be, what I'm saying is, more aggressive next week to match the Falcons.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't wait to watch that game. I got to say this also, though. I mean, Peyton's still getting, it's funny, he's still getting all still getting some ads, you know. I mean, you still see him on TV a lot. You have pretty much since his rookie season. But the guy who's taken over from him on watching all these ads and watching the games as the white guy who's always in these commercials that are funny despite the fact that he shows absolutely no charisma is Aaron Rodgers. Good Lord. Aaron Rodgers has become the go-to, you know, no charisma, no delivery quarterback for advertisers. But like I say, somehow still manages to make good commercials, much like Peyton's done for years. Let's talk about the guy that we probably backed up Peyton with 80, 90% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
And we feel good about this one, too. Joe Flacco, 21 completions in 29 attempts, 299 yards, two times he reached the end zone, two completions for touchdowns.
Wow. I mean, this guy, they talked in the preseason a lot about how they were finally going to go to the no huddle. They were going to take off the reins. You know, they were going to let him go and just throw the ball. Because Joe Flacco throws the ball better than almost anybody else in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and they've talked about this before in previous seasons. How, you know, oh, maybe this is the year they're finally going to let Joe Flacco go. And it's never happened. And so I think that scared the crap out of people. Because Joe Flacco was one of those guys. I mean, in some cases, in a deeper league, we were staring at Joe Flacco in round 16 or 17, even. And that just seemed ridiculous because when you're talking about, you know, matching him up.
He's going, like, the guys that are going ahead of him are the guys like Luck with no, you know, no, nothing to base him off of. Are, you know, like, no offense, but Flacco's at least been a starter and playoff quarterback for years.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, in Flacco's case, you know, we picked him a whole bunch. He's on our team a ton. And now, so as far as coach league goes,
1,000 leagues.
Yeah. But as far as coach,
full disclosure, we went, what, like 50-50 this week?
Not even. We had a terrible week. I mean, I think it was more like, 30-70.
Yeah, but you know what? It was funny because it was one of those weeks where I went, yeah, we actually scored a lot and we did well. And it just, every single time we seemed to catch the other guys having a better week.
Yeah.
It's not we had a lot of, we didn't have a lot of crappy weeks or a lot of crappy teams because we have 1,000 of them, like I said. It was just that everybody else played well too and played the right guys.
Well, in almost every league that we played, we were in the upper third in scoring. It just so happened that we were facing a guy who was also in the upper third in scoring.
Yes, that's the way it goes sometimes. I mean, if you have a bad first week and you see that, you don't feel bad about yourself because you know it's going to even out.
Yeah, I mean, rarely did we make the bad decisions. And I think that's what's important. And we don't have any truly horrible players. But Joe Flacco is one of those players that I'm super happy to have. So as far as coach speak goes, he is exactly as advertised. As far as what everybody else expected, he is completely not as advertised. Super happy to have this guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
If he's out there on the waiver wire, and you do have a guy like, who's not very good that, or who's like Matt Cassel. If you have a Matt Cassel on your bench, say, then dump him and grab yourself some Flacco.
Absolutely. Not that Cassel put up bad numbers either, just, you know, He doesn't have the potential. And,
no.
And the thing about, you know, and I think...
Carson Palmer, yeah. Doesn't have the potential.
Yeah, exactly.
Solid numbers.
Solid numbers in week one, but not the potential. That's another thing, though. I mean, I think we got to keep this in mind. They ran a no huddle, and yet he only threw it 29 times.
Yeah, I know.
He showed great command of the no huddle. And there's probably going to be a lot of weeks where they're running the no huddle, and they're going to throw it a lot more in this. And he threw for almost 300 yards with only 29 attempts. And I think you're going to see a lot of 40-plus attempts from him, out of him as the season goes on. So that, to me, is what really excites me about Flacco, even more in this performance.
And his receivers definitely helped him out. Like Torrey Smith, his tight ends, and Anquan Boldin. I mean, he's got enough weapons. And Ray
and
Rice.
And it didn't hurt the one touchdown catch to Boldin. I'm still trying to decide if it was or wasn't a touchdown. It was one of those juggles. They called it a touchdown, and replay evidence wasn't clear enough to overturn.
It's gonna be a real struggle this season because the referees, the replacement refs, have been less than quality.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not their fault.
No.
All right, so we're just gonna go through here, and that's the Fantasy 15. I just got some other names on the list. I'm just gonna shut up. I'm gonna just throw the names out there, and we're just gonna get some quick hits on you and a few other players that we had been talking about. Justin Blackmon.
Well, Justin Blackmon got a ton of targets. I was more surprised by Laurent Robinson and the fact that he was able to get a lot of targets and catch a lot of the balls because he didn't look very good at all in preseason. Justin Blackmon, if he hangs onto the football, then he's totally going to be a solid player.
A guy that I kept on saying to you I want, and I had to talk you into a couple times. You didn't really ever want him. Brandon Gibson, 4 receptions for 51 yards.
I think that this is a good, solid game for Brandon Gibson. I think that we can expect more games like this out of Brandon Gibson. Is he ever going to be an exciting football player? No, I don't think so that he is. But as long as he's starting and as long as they have to throw the football, then he's bound to catch it. You know, and I think that I probably wasn't excited. I'm not likely to get excited, but if you need a player who's going to give you some yards pretty much every game, then Brandon Gibson's probably going to work.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that Brandon Gibson and Amendola, both for the Rams, look like the only guys who are really going to catch any balls. So
yeah, I mean, Amendola is a killer guy in PPR.
Yeah,
this guy could catch 11 balls for 20 yards, but if you're working on PPR, then it don't matter.
You know, he's not on here, but I'm just going to throw him out there. A guy who I think we could have said was not as advertised, except to us, because we got him a billion times, and I didn't even throw him on the list when we mentioned, just Stephen Ridley.
Oh, Stephen Ridley, yeah. Well, you know, everybody thinks again about Bill Belichick recently, where he hasn't had a workhorse back. But when you think back to Corey Dillon, he used Corey Dillon as a workhorse back.
Absolutely.
And Corey Dillon responded. And Stephen Ridley has shown all that he needs to, and he's responding. And, you know, I frankly wish that I had him more because he could definitely become a real steal for an RB2.
Yeah, a guy taken in fourth, fifth rounds often. Again, another one that we talk about this, Alfred Morris and, you know, and even Ryan Williams and these guys. Just a north-south runner. You know,
yeah, but more talent than a lot of those
guys.
Yeah,
who just moves forward. Well, I think a better offensive line.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Much better offensive line.
And a quarterback that you have to be afraid of.
Yeah, no kidding. But let's go to the real big acquisitions the Pats had this offseason was Brandon Lloyd. 5 receptions, 69 yards. As advertised?
I think he's as advertised. I mean, I expect him to get better. And I think, if anything else, what it's going to do is he's making Wes Welker expendable. You know, Wes Welker, I mean, playing for the big franchise tag, $9.63 million or whatever. And it looks like Lloyd could effectively phase, you know, Lloyd and the tight ends could effectively phase Wes Welker out of the offense. And that's the brilliant thing about Belichick and his offenses, is that it doesn't matter what it is. Whenever he decides to implement, you know, or have his offensive coordinator implement, it's likely to be successful because they put people in the right position to succeed. They get the right talent for what they're looking for, and they maximize their talent by putting them in the right position.
And keep in mind that Okay, I actually don't keep this in mind. This is a prediction I'm going to make right now. Wes Welker is released by week 14. Prediction from Mo. Much like Randy Moss out of nowhere got released, and I've seen Belichick do it before, and he doesn't care. You're not contributing. He can use that roster spot for somebody else. He thinks you're... I mean, Welker, as long as he doesn't shut his mouth, I believe Welker just gets released.
Well, and Welker was splitting snaps with Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
I mean, that's shocking by itself. I definitely...
It could have been a lesson to him, like a watch yourself type of thing, like just a warning, or it could be a trend of what's going to come. I really think he's going to be. I think it all started with when he made all those comments about Rex Ryan and his feet and all that type of crap there. I think Belichick has been not so pleased with him ever since. So
yeah,
he's put up great stats in the past, but yeah, I that's my prediction. Week 14, by then, I believe the Patriots have cut Welker.
I think that this is definitely his last season in New England.
Yeah. Cam Newton, 23 out of 33, 303 yards, a TD, two interceptions, one fumble, five rushes for a mere 4 yards. Stats that, some good, some bad, all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't play a very good game. His stats look better than they were. The rushing stats is the real disappointing element. Unfortunately, it's kind of along the line of the way he finished off last season. Yeah. And I think that's, so by that token, he's still consistent, but he's not a world beater.
And that's the thing people had to remember. He was so off the charts those first 6 weeks. And the last, and then kind of in the middle, actually probably the next 6 weeks, he was probably, I'd say, a high-end number two. And then he finished the season as a low-end number one. So, I mean, he had three seasons in one. If you turn the ball over three times all by yourself, responsible for three turnovers all by yourself, that's bad. That's very, very bad.
It is. It is bad.
For a guy who sees... It's okay if you're Tannehill or Whedon because nobody expects anything, but it's not okay for a Cam Newton who's a first round or...
First second rounder, so yeah. More is expected.
Yeah. Isaac Redman had 11 carries. He got 20 yards, and he caught two passes of 7 yards. Didn't surprise the hell out of me.
No, I think too many people, we didn't touch him. Wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. I don't care if he was sitting there.
No, we didn't touch Dwyer either. You know who we got a lot?
Rashard Mendenhall.
Just wait, folks. A few weeks. The more talented back, he's going to be the one who's... We're going to feel good about that one, I have a feeling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because Isaac Redman...
Fantasy football leagues, you got to be patient. They're a marathon. They're not a sprint.
Nope. And Isaac Redman was a sprint choice because everybody, the people that took him now, and I thought that this was the stupid reason for them jumping on him, was because he wound up, if he was sitting there in the fifth round, then the truth is that a lot of people wound up picking him because it was just like, oh, well, he's the top of the list on the running backs right now. So if he starts, then, well, hopefully he'll be good for me for a few games. Well, that's not the way to look at it. I don't want a good guy for the first three games. I want a good guy that will help me for the last 13. Exactly. And that's Rashard Mendenhall. And getting Rashard Mendenhall in the 12th, that's way better than getting Isaac Redman.
Exactly. So if he doesn't work out, you drafted him in the 12th.
Yeah, and you can dump him. Isaac Redman, you drafted the guy in the 5th round. And you got... 2.5 points or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be horribly disappointed because that's a bad pick.
Yeah, no question. And the last guy, the Chargers beat the the Raiders largely due to special teams play. They had absolutely no running game. I mean, just horrible. And Malcolm Floyd had the best offensive performance from a wide receiver standpoint ahead of Gates and Robert Meacham. I can't believe they won that game. One of those really strange games last night. What do you think about Robert Meacham? He's the other guy. Then two catches, 49 yards. One of those real deep, which is what he excels at.
I'll admit I'm a little concerned about Meacham because I'm very concerned that in the whole off season he still hasn't developed any chemistry with Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is a guy who the last couple of seasons has been kind of showing less arm strength, less than optimal arm strength. And like you say, Robert Meacham is a guy who excels at going deep. These two things just don't mesh. Now, Malcolm Floyd has been with him for a few seasons, and so they obviously have some chemistry. And so I am a little more concerned, because Meacham definitely has a talent, is a talent upgrade over Malcolm Floyd. But I'm a little concerned by...
Chemistry is a big part of it. It's not all talent.
No.
And, you know, I mean, Brandon Marshall is more effective with Cutler throwing to him than anybody else because of chemistry.
Yep.
You know, it's just sometimes it's just the way it is. Yeah, I mean, Floyd's out there in a lot of leagues. I think he's more, I think more than like Ogletree or Hill, you and I are going to be out eyeing Floyd because he might produce more consistently and be easier to get.
Yeah, absolutely. Because some of those guys, you know, I just don't see them playing consistent football all the time. So, and that's really important. Fantasy football to us is about consistent points, because you're always going to have the guys who go off. But if you don't have the guys who just completely tank, then you're going to do much better.
Yeah, I mean, I always said that if the average scoring in your league is 95 points, I'd rather have a team that scores 100 points every week than a team that scores 130 3 weeks in a row and then gets 20 the next 2 weeks. Like, you know, I just want that consistent production.
Yeah.
And then if you have that consistent production, you'll make the playoffs, and by the playoffs, you know which players have the best matchups to win. And that's always kind of been the way we look at it. So anything else? I'm gonna just say before we go OUT. I mean, what are we gonna throw out our Twitter handles, as they call them?
Absolutely, why not?
What the hell? Yours is.
All right, mine is Brett_WeTalk. That's Brett_WeTalk, and Brett@WeTalkPodcast.com. You know, we can we're gonna be following up on some of these, on 15 of these players consistently, and so it should be really interesting to see how we do. You can follow along with us, and you can even follow along with one of our drafts a little bit too.
And Aaron Hernandez, he's another player that I thought we were, you know, anything to say about him?
Well, he was, you know, he and Gronk, I think maybe Gronk did a little better than I expected, but what do you feel like?
They had almost the exact same stats. Yeah, both of them got like 40 yards for a TD.
Yeah, so I think that the thing is that with Aaron Hernandez, we said in our first podcast for this year that Aaron Hernandez was going to beat Gronkowski by the end of the year, and he's well on his way to fulfilling that.
Yeah. All right, and what is my Twitter handle and the email? Go ahead.
It's Mo, that's M-O, _WeTalk, and Mo@WeTalkPodcast.com.
Yeah, and we got We Talk Fantasy Football, as we're doing right now. We Talk Podcasts. Also has blogs, comics, books, wrestling, and all sorts of goodies. So some really cool people working with us, really talented, cool people working with us over there. So that's awesome. That's about it. We're OUT, right?
That's right. We'll see you. And we'll beat you.